Groupie, host of Out There, here on Valley Free Radio. Tune in for stories from the streets and paths of Northampton and beyond, Fridays from 4 to 5 p.m. Get out if you can, but if you can't get out, tune in. We don't care if we live out of date. We don't care. And yes, it is Friday. It's Friday. Go up volume, Friday, July 31st. One more day and I would have had the wrong month. You're listening to Out There. And yes, listeners, I think this will be my last show for a while because I'm going to Kentucky next week to be with my dad for a bit. I don't know. 6 weeks is what I'm starting out planning to be with if Cans for Cancer can survive without me. Oh. So I've been doing 2 months in Massachusetts, a month in Kentucky. I think when I'm going to kind of flip-flop that and do like 2 months in Kentucky, a month in Massachusetts. That's my thought, something like that. But it all depends on my dad's health. He had his first stay in a rehab a couple weeks ago, last week, the week before, for falling again. And this time my brother made him go to the hospital. Legs just giving out from under him. So my brother lives nearby and my brother and family are taking good care of him. But my dad's not the only, my sister-in-law's dad also needs even more care. So they got their hands full. So I'm going next. My plan is to go next Thursday and be there for a while. So I'm giving up Out There. I looked on the archives, weatherbeard.com/out-there-archive, and there's 365 shows. And my friend Joe said last night, hey, you could play a show every single day and have enough shows to last a year. And I said, yeah, but they wouldn't be relevant to anything, you know, except for life in general, I guess. So thanks for listening to Out There, my regular listeners. For today's show, maybe I'll continue Out There at some point in the future. I hope so. I really enjoy being part of the Valley Free Radio community and having access to the Old Florence Grammar School. And I have an access to this place that's warm and dry in winter and rainy days. It was rainy today. Did anybody notice how it like rained today? Like an inch in 15 minutes around 11:30 this morning? Yeah. It was very wet at Cans for Cancer, I'll tell you that. But not as wet as it was on the heads of my pedal people coworkers riding around and everybody else. It was outside and the farmers and... There was a lot of water on the ground fast. Okay, so for today's show, I have a clip, an interview. Speaking of Valley Recycling, I have an interview with Wayne Buzzy. He is an attendant at Valley Recycling and also a cancer survivor and retired volunteer fire chief from West Hampton. Also Russell. He worked for the fire department there. And what else? I guess I'll start with some... music from our Monday night potluck this past Monday. Oh yeah, when I say our, I mean the FLOOP, which is the housing cooperative where I live in Florence, 6 and 8 High Street. Potlucks Monday nights from 6 to 8. Usually we took a sabbatical, but we started them back up, so we'll see how that goes. All right, just a little surreptitious clip. Was Alex on piano, Alex Ola on percussion, and Nicholas on trombone. Now, let's see the interview with Wayne. So when I play clips off of my phone, listeners, I don't know if you've noticed, but it's like really quiet for the first few seconds because I try to play it on my phone and the phone says, what does the phone say? I'll tell you what it says. says something about, you can't listen at such, are you sure you want to listen at such a high volume? And it takes me a while to turn it up all the way. All right, let's try this again. oh, friend, nope, that's not the one. You know what? I tell you, it's this other slider. I got the one on my phone, but I forgot the one on the board on the desk in the studio. Let's try this again.
All right, so it's Thursday, June 18th, 2026, here at Valley Recycling with, what's your name?
Wayne Buzzy.
And we met because I'm here doing cans for cancer. What's your job, your role here?
Residential section at Valley Recycling.
And I see your hat says Fire Department FD. Yep. What's that from?
Well, got on the West Hampton Fire Department back in 1979. It was a volunteer department. And I worked up through the ranks and was deputy chief for 20 plus years and became chief. And I had my own business going. And between the business and the chief and towing and everything, just got to be a little too much. So I retired from the fire department and as a chief. And I got bored, and a good friend of mine was a chief up in Russell, and they needed daytime coverage. So I was only 15 minutes away, so I went to Russell. So I was 20 years at West Hampton and 12 years at Russell, so I had 40 years in.
Wow.
Volunteer.
So as a volunteer, you said volunteer like three times, so you didn't get paid for this?
The only position was, only position paid was chief.
Okay, I would hope so.
It was like a stipend.
Okay.
But it was all about volunteering, what you can do for the community.
Wow. So 1979?
Yep.
How old were you, if that's okay to ask?
Let's see.
Well, in general, more or less.
Let's see. I'm trying to think now.
Sometimes we get so old, we don't even remember when we were born.
73. 27.
Okay. What motivated you to do it?
Well, I was working at a Ford dealership in East Hampton, Doty Ford. And I always liked fire department.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandfather was actually a police officer in East Hampton.
Uh-huh.
But he was on the dark side. I wanted the red side. So I did the civil service exam. But you had to be a resident of East Hampton. I had just bought a place in West Hampton. I was born and raised in West Hampton.
Okay.
And I had just graduated from high school and bought a place. And I didn't want to move.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
I couldn't join East Hampton Fire.
Uh-huh.
And so after the Ford garage closed, I went to work for the highway department, which was right next door to the fire department.
Uh-huh.
Basically the same building. So we're in town all day long, so you kind of go on the fire department.
All right. So how are you, if you were volunteering at age 47 or something, you were volunteering for the fire department, what were you doing at this time? Like, how are you paying off the house or property or paying your bills?
Well, when I got on the fire department, I was working for the highway department.
Yeah.
As a welder, mechanic, and operator.
Okay. As fire chief, the first time in West Hampton, how much of your time would you say that took up on a daily basis or weekly basis?
Weekly basis, 15 to 20 hours a week.
Uh-huh. And were you like on call all the time?
Oh, 24/7.
Didn't that just get like exhausting?
Well, my towing was 24/7 too, plus my garage, out of repair shop.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, didn't leave much time for anything else. I mean,
what about getting a good night's sleep?
Well, far and few in between. You had a pager right next to your bed.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You know, when the tones went off, the adrenaline dumped and off you went.
Wow. What about family? Do you have family?
I had a wife, yeah.
How was that for her?
Got a little... iffy at times.
Yeah.
I mean, you still went on vacation and stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like you were committed. If you had things to do, you did them.
Yeah.
You know, but
What were some of your favorite things about being with the volunteer fire department?
Camaraderie of the people.
Yeah.
And yeah. Back in the day, and even now, all the departments, I mean, people get along. I mean, it's just nature, I guess. I mean, it's just a good camaraderie of people.
Uh-huh. When you left West Hampton, maybe I'll ask when you left Russell, because that was more recent. When did you leave Russell?
When I turned 65. Because we were a paid call department there.
Okay.
You got called, you got paid.
Okay.
And in Massachusetts at 65, if you're getting paid, you had, that was it, you're done.
Okay.
You could apply for an extension, but I was getting older and it's a young man's game.
Yeah.
You know, I had enough after 40 years.
Yeah, I'll say. Yeah, what kind of things were hard about it? Like on your body or
on your body, climbing ladders, work on roofs. We had quite a few brush fires in Russell.
Yeah.
The mountains.
Oh, yeah.
You know, humping your packs and stuff.
Yeah.
Hand tools, working them out, working the fires.
Yeah. Wow. Did you ever have any accidents? I don't really want to go there necessarily. Do you have any advice on avoiding accidents?
Just be aware of your surroundings. I mean,
yeah.
Things happen that,
yeah.
You know, in a split second.
Right.
You know,
and trying to not rush.
Right. You don't, everybody thinks you should run. You know, you don't run at a scene.
Yeah.
You want to get there. Same when you're arriving with an apparatus. You got to be, you're not in your car. They don't stop on a dime.
Yeah.
You want to get that apparatus there. You don't need an accident.
Yeah.
And that's with a volunteer department. When I was with Russell, I went through the driver training course down in Foxborough. And I was basically the instructor for driver training in Russell.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of these guys, they drove little cars and you get in a big piece of apparatus.
Uh-huh.
You're not in your car anymore.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, last time I was in Kentucky in May, one of my in-laws had a stroke, and so the volunteer fire department came, and the pace with which they calmly approached the situation was really impressive to me.
Yeah. Yes. Yes, it is. I mean, you take everything in, size up the situation, and
yeah.
I said you can't be in a rush.
Yeah.
You gotta look for dangers, overhead wires, things like that.
I rush around for stupid little stuff and then I hurt myself.
Yeah, that's usually what happens.
I need some more advice on not rushing. So let's see. What about, you've also told me, so I'm here at Cans for Cancer, so you're also a cancer survivor?
Yes, I am. Came down with a had a tumor on the base of my tongue, which they could not operate on. It was during the beginning of COVID, so none of the doctors wanted to see you. They're trying to diagnose you over the telephone. And to be quite honest with you, I don't have much use for the doctors in this area. They basically wrote me off, and I wasn't going to give up. Ended up going to Dana-Farber, and they saved my life.
In Boston?
In Boston. And
wow.
If I would suggest to people, if they get diagnosed with cancer, always get a second opinion. And don't be afraid to contact Dana-Farber, because they've got a great team down there. That's all they do. That's their wheelhouse is cancer.
Uh-huh.
And they work together with Brigham Women's Memorial.
Uh-huh.
It does all the surgeries and stuff like that, and top notch all the way.
Uh-huh.
Fortunately for me, it was during COVID, and I was traveling back and forth to Boston every day, and it was great because there was no traffic. So you can make it to Boston in an hour and 10 minutes.
Well,
and
wow.
There was no traffic. Now it's... It can depend when you go. It can be a 3 or 4 hour ride.
Uh-huh.
Depends on the pike.
Yeah. Huh. So like insurance cover Dana-Farber like it would have covered something here?
Well, yes. Fortunately, I mean, I was on Medicare, which once you turn 65, it's mandatory. You got to go on it. But I also had a very good supplement and that I pay for myself. And to be honest with you, I never got a bill from Dana-Farber or Brigham Women. Everything was covered, even the medication. So make sure you, if you can afford it, good insurance, because you could go bankrupt. I mean, my bills were total about $700,000 if I had to pay out of pocket.
Over how many years?
I don't know. I was there. I had 35 radiation treatments and 7 chemo. So I went, it was about 2 months. And this September will be 5 years cancer free.
Wow. When you first got the diagnosis, what was that like?
Well, at first they didn't want to believe, it started off, I knew there was something in my throat. Food was getting caught, and I called the doctor. Of course, they didn't want to see me. They treated me for acid reflux for 2 months. It got worse, worse. Finally, push came to shove. They finally got into the hospital. They did a biopsy, found out I had cancer. And it was kind of a shock, but I said, I got to do something about it. I never gave up.
Yeah.
And don't give up.
Yeah.
You got to fight.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what my wife says. I'm a fighter.
How long have you been working at Valley Recycling?
Less than a year.
All right. That explains why I haven't known you for longer than that.
Right. Well, after I sold my business, I thought I wanted to retire. Well, that got boring.
Yeah.
So I was working at a gas station doing mechanical work. And I only wanted part-time. It's supposed to be 20 hours a week, turned into 40 and 50. So, got to be too much. I left. Then I worked construction for a little while. Same thing. I was only supposed to be part-time. That turned into 40 to 50 hours a week. This is too much. So, came down here. I know Rich and Liz. I'm looking for a part-time job, and it's perfect. 2 days a week, 4 hours a day, that's great.
Yeah, nice. Is this guy throwing his bike in scrap metal? Anything else you want to share?
Well, other than if you do get diagnosed with cancer, do your homework.
Yeah.
Check your doctors out.
Yeah.
I was fortunate enough, my radiologist was the head of the radiology department, Dr. Marta Lee, and my oncologist was the head of oncology, Dr. Haddad. So to me, they were the two best. So I got top notch.
That was at Dana-Farber.
At Dana-Farber, And from what I understand, that's all they hire, top people.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing, Wayne.
Yep.
It's nice to see
you
around.
Thanks for having it. Yeah.
That was an interview with Wayne Buzzy, retired police chief from Westfield and, West Hampton and Russell. And you're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. There's a big, loud lawnmower that's mowing the lawn outside the window here. And it's reminding me that scything is an option for mowing grass, for mowing weeds, for mowing all kinds of things. Check it out, scything. Maine Size Supply. Is that what it's called? Perry Size Supply in Maine. They sell all kinds of great scything supplies and informational books, booklets, videos, and all that. You too could scythe instead of mowing with a loud mower. Actually, scything is mowing. Sorry. I digress. So Wayne was talking about, you know, like it, when you work for the fire department or anything you do, just, you know, be calm and avoid accidents by, you know, being calm, whatever. It reminds me that my friend last night at the Thursday night concert, free concert in Florence, my friendly friend who drives for a trucking company. He told me a trash hauling company. He told me yesterday he was out doing his route, a curbside route, and he was stopped on the side of the road with an automatic side loader arm out, or he had just done a pickup there, and he saw a fire truck coming in his mirrors, and he said he knew it wasn't going to be good. He knew it wasn't going to be good. And sure enough, he said the fire truck ripped off his side mirror. Oops. It was a whole thing. They had to stop, had to file a police report, etc. But fortunately, the driver wasn't on his way to a emergency fire. It was just like a carbon monoxide alarm they had to respond to or something like that. Anyway, be careful out there. Don't rush. I say that to myself more than anything. Okay, so I have for today's show, I think I wanted to play a bunch of songs for today's show, which I announced at the beginning of Out There that it was going to be my last show for probably many months because I'm going to Kentucky next week to spend more time with my dad. All right, yeah, so I've picked a bunch of my favorite songs I like. Of course, I'm going to play songs. I'm like, why would I play songs I don't like? any Linux you're listening to out there on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie. Here I've got a favorite clip that I played once before that I will play again. And this is a clip from Trinidad, my friend Tony, who was someone when I was this winter when I was staying in this rural farming community in Trinidad, fixing bikes and eating papayas and stuff. Tony, I would visit every day. I would bike, walk, scooter, coast a couple kilometers to his house. Was his house, which was just kind of like a half built block house with tin roof, lots of breeze, and just open to everything, including the jungle rat, whatever that might be. It's coming. No, it's not coming. Oh, it looks like maybe it's not going to play. Well, that's fine. Then I'll play another song.
Obligations now.
So we were sitting on his front porch stoop one evening, and there was some kind of banging around going on in the inside the house. And I was like, what is that? And it just kept going on, like, boom, boom. It was just like something knocking around. And it knocked around some when we were talking, but we can't really hear it in the recording so much. But it continued as we had our conversation. Oh, sorry. I'm very good at interrupting my own clips.
All right, make some noise now.
I don't know what kind of jungle rat is that, but he look like he have a hammer. And I saw, he have a hammer and a saw, and he don't know what that rat building inside of it, but he ponging. Naked noise, me don't know what really going on there. It's a real jungle rat and shooter. He running on the road. I don't know what going on with this rat. I don't know if it's a human rat.
Does it make noise like this all night long when you're trying to sleep?
All night long, naked noise. Like it's trying to scare me or something.
Well, you don't really know what it is.
It's all right. I'm sure about it. Me, but I don't know what he's pulling. I know what he's building. In my time, I look in the corner to see if anything building in the back. I ain't seeing nothing building, but I hear any noise. Barang bang, barang bang, barang bang. A little bit again, I hear he running on the roof. What kind of rat is that?
It doesn't bother you.
No, I don't feel anything. Really, I don't feel nothing. But this rat is a carpenter in the house. He really does this too, man. Yeah. I don't know what the rat doing. Big man, do you have a light?
I do have a light.
I will have to buy some rat poison.
What? No, they're your company.
I wouldn't do that. I would just let it live my way. Yeah. Because you don't humbug me really, you know. Sometimes I leave things for you to eat and all on top of the table and I get up and I watch. He has some big teeth, it's a big rat. Because when he bite, you see all the print of his teeth in the little yam and thing. He's very big. And if he's getting too big, I will can't handle that to him.
Now, don't you think it'll make babies and then you have lots of whole rat family?
No, we don't need babies. You have to get rid of some of them. So they will come more and more because they're getting food. But it don't humbug me. I never see it. But it don't humbug me. Yeah. God gives man power over everything. All the insects, all the animals, all the things we walk on the beside man. Man are the greatest powers, you know. Mm-hmm. But this man failed to analyze himself to know well how powerful he is now. Mm. Yeah.
There we are. Words from Tony. I think that will end the Trinidad part of my out there shows.
My friends and foes. suppose. I'm pleased to be chilling in the West Indies. Jah provide all my wants and needs. I got the sunshine, rivers and trees.
When me see Jah, me see a way. Drastically straight from hypocrisy, I say, hey. Every man to them own a philosophy. I live the proper way and then me read a chapter daily. Man, they in a city hungry and no eat. And food they down a country, does a drop off of the tree then. You see, say poverty no real then. Is what the reason revealing.
To my friends and foes, and I suppose hello. I'm pleased to be chilling in the West Indies. Jah provide all my wants and needs. I got the sunshine, rivers and trees, green leaves. Yeah.
When the rain pits up at the roof, herb just a steam pepper pot on the stew. Life is a dream if you got gratitude. So go tell the regime them can't stop where we do now. Information you think on your own, or else you're a slave to the things that you know. What do you know if you learn every day? So be careful of things where you say.
Who knows, who knows, who knows, who knows. I just go where the trading blows. Sending love to my friends and foes.
Hello.
And I suppose
hello.
I'm pleased to be chilling in the West Indies. Jah provide all my wants and needs. Sunshine, rivers and trees, green leaves.
Africa in our soul, but a Jah in our heart. It is of importance for I and I gather. If we cannot show now a balance that we had, how do we propose then to carry it abroad? Cannot go to Ethiopia and you not have a plan. The building of a nation and a helper and every one a lover, one a man is just a man. It shall be a coronation when we land, land, land.
Who knows? Who knows, who knows? I just go where the trapping blows,
yeah, man.
Sending love to my friends and foes.
Hello.
And I suppose
hello.
I'm pleased to be chilling in the West Indies. Jah provide all my wants and needs. I got the sunshine, rivers and trees, green leaves.
Protege, Who Knows, featuring Chronix out of Jamaica. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. And I'm going to follow that up with Violeta Parra, Gracias a la Vida. Thanks for life. Thanks to life.
Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto. Me dio dos luceros que cuando los abro perfecto distingo lo negro del blanco y en el alto cielo su fondo estrellado. En las multitudes el hombre que yo amo. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado el oído que en todo su ancho graba noche y día, grillos y canarios, martillos, turbinas, ladridos, chubasco y la voz tan tierna de mi bien amado. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado el sonido y el abecedario, con él la palabra que pienso y declaro, padre, amigo, hermano y luz alumbrando la ruta del alma del que estoy amando. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado la marcha de mis pies cansados, con ellos anduve ciudades y charcos, playas y desierto, montañas y llano, y la casa tuya, tu calle y tu patio. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me dio el corazón que agita su marco cuando miro el fruto del cerebro humano, cuando miro el bueno tan lejos del malo, cuando miro el fondo de tus ojos claros. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto, me ha dado la risa y me ha dado el llanto. Así yo distingo dicha de quebranto, los dos materiales que forman mi canto, y el canto de ustedes que es el mismo canto, y el canto de todos que es mi propio canto. Gracias a la vida que me ha dado tanto.
Gracias a la vida. You know, that song, I've only ever heard, like, I never knew anything about the song. But if you look up on Wikipedia, so that song was released in 1966 from Violeta Parra's album Las Últimas Composiciones. It was the last album she published before taking her life in 1967. And the lyrics, so here's an example of one verse translated to English. Thanks to life, which has given me so much. It gave me two bright eyes, stars. When I opened them, I perfectly distinguished the black from white, and in the sky above, her starry backdrop, and within the multitudes, the man I love. And so it's kind of like a celebration of life and individual experience, but then maybe the lyrics suggest that she intended it as a sort of suicide note. And it's also it kind of points out that a life full of good health, opportunity, and worldly experience might not offer any consolation to grief and the contradictory nature of the human condition. Some of those words are from Wikipedia, not mine personally. Anyway, you're listening to Out There. Thanks for tuning in today. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up at 5 o'clock. And here I have here's something I wrote. I mentioned at the beginning of the show that this was going to be my last show for a while before I go to Kentucky to be with my dad. And in my archives of my writings and notes to self, here's a short one I discovered that I wrote in 2019. I have a place in my heart and mind I can think of whenever I want. The mountains rise up You've seen photos of the Smokies, kind of like that, but with less grandeur. There lie my roots, what few I have. Not roots by bloodline so much as roots of black walnut, bald cypress, white oak, corn, and kale. All right. Yep, that's Kentucky, Southeast Kentucky from Bell County near Cumberland Gap. And here. Now I'll play some Weird Al Yankovic.
My maid is cleaning the bathroom, so I can't take a shower.
First world problems. As my friends in Trinidad often refer to themselves, or some of my friends there call themselves the third world country, and I'm used to hearing that term in a somewhat derogatory way, slightly outdated kind of way, but actually that just really meant, well, the, let's see, the, in its original context, the first, like in the 1950s, I think, the first world included the United States and its capitalist allies in places such as Western Europe, Japan, and Australia. The second world consisted of the communist Soviet Union and its Eastern European satellites. And the third world encompassed all the other countries that weren't actively aligned with either side in the Cold War. And they were often impoverished former European colonies, and included nearly all the nations of Africa, the Middle East, Latin America, and Asia. You're listening to Out There on Valley Free Radio. I'm your host, Ruthie, You can hear archived editions of Out There at weatherbeard.com/out-there-archive. There's 365 of them, and this will make 366 when I put this one on. But what? Oh, yeah, but this will be the last one for a while. And you can hear two-week archives of any show on Valley Free Radio on the valleyfreeradio.org archives. Democracy Now! Comes on at 6:55. My brain needs a break from this show. And I guess that's all I can think of to say. And thank you so much for listening, and thank you for your support of Valley Free Radio, and thanks to all the other programmers, and I hope that I'll be back on Valley Free Radio at some point in the future, maybe a year or two or three down the road.